Whenever there is a conversation about conference realignment, or whenever news breaks that involves conferences realigning, West Virginia somehow is a topic, and West Virginia somehow ends up being a polarizing topic, and that extends far beyond fans and media, the covered of you, that even goes nationally. I'm Mike Oste, and I will be joined to talk about West Virginia and where they stand now and where they may stand in the future by national recruiting analyst Mike Farrell. So, Mike, first off, thanks for joining me. I like the helmets there in the background. And it's just kind of been that weird enigma for West Virginia the last 10-plus years, and now it certainly has intensified off of more recent news. Obviously, Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, but then even recent news of USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, and then that caused a little bit of a freak-out session for everybody else on where conferences stand, which conferences may stand, and if teams need to bolt and get out. And of course, as you're aware, a lot of Mountaineer fans feel like they've been in the wrong conference the last 10 years, regardless of success or lack of success. So I do want to ask you, just kind of off the top, based on the recent news, based on what's happening right now, how much of that do you feel like impacts WVU in the immediate future? We're going to get obviously into the viability of this program overall and where they stand and what they maybe should or need to do. But when you first heard the news, just being aware of West Virginia as well for our audience, how much of that impacts WVU right away?
Well, I mean, if I'm a West Virginia fan, it's a recurring nightmare, because realignment back in the mid-2000s, early 2000s was a nightmare for them. It just wasn't good. I mean, they were in the Big East. You know, they saw their Big East partners welcomed with open arms in Miami, Virginia Tech, and Boston College to the ACC. They were, you know, there was talk that they're a great fit for the SEC, but the SEC wasn't expanding. The ACC has this hotty-totty academic, you know, issue that they've got. But, you know, again, politics played a part, because Virginia Tech wasn't supposed to be in there. And then UVA went to bat for Virginia Tech, and then Virginia Tech got in there. So,
and then Louisville, where people could bring up that academically and kind of as a quote-unquote party school, why do you want them but not WVU,
et cetera. And you know, the Big Ten has also got – you know, they're in their mind a very, you know, highfalutin academic reputation. They brag, you know, Nebraska's the only team outside the top 85 in the country, blah, blah, blah. And this move of USC and UCLA had nothing to do with academics whatsoever, but that's what people like to play. So, you know, you've got the West Virginia rival is Pitt. They're in the ACC. It would make sense if we got rid of this academic nonsense, because, you know, listen, North Carolina, no offense to them, is a great academic school, but on the football side, there are no academics. I know over the last 15 years of kids with horrible SAT scores and horrible GPAs who got into school because of that. So if you want to play that card, great, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me when there's certain schools in there that have tremendous academics on the you know, front. But behind the curtain, it just makes no sense, and it doesn't matter. So I think the best fit for them would be the ACC. That would be the first, you know, with Pitt, get that rivalry back on a yearly basis. And then the SEC. The Big Ten's not going to touch them. The Big Ten just won't.
That seems like the reality of the situation, yeah.
Yeah, they won't. They just think they're, you know, I don't know. They just think they're better than that. Even if they took Pitt. Right. So Pitt would make sense with their contiguous states and the travel. You know, they have Penn State there, Pitt. They still wouldn't take West Virginia. So the Big Ten's not an option. The Big 12 is where they are, and they're a fish out of water there, you know, obviously geographically. And then the Big 12 and the Pac 12 are probably going to either, you know, one's going to swallow the other. The real intriguing part to me is the ACC with the Pac 12. And the discussions that they're having of an alliance. But I think if you're a West Virginia fan, it makes you very, very nervous, because they were.
We've heard the word alliance before.
last year. It doesn't mean anything. It means nothing, you know, and it's a handshake alliance and all that's garbage. But if you're a West Virginia fan, you got left out musical chair wise, and you found a home. And it was a, you know, it was a move. This isn't anything against West Virginia. It was just a move of the Big 12 lost so much. They needed to add quality programs, and they've lost again, Texas and Oklahoma, and now they're in UCF and Cincinnati and Houston, right, and BYU. But that's not the proper home for them. So I think the ACC is the future for them. If the ACC gets swallowed by the SEC, then it's the SEC.
Yeah, and that kind of does feel like the obvious that the ACC would be that natural fit, and it honestly could even help some of the schools there because you bring back the backyard brawl, and without having to work any deals, you just have it, and then you have other natural rivals, kind of like what the old Big East was. And I always tell West Virginia fans that complain about being in the Big 12, it wasn't really that West Virginia had other options in terms of being viable as a major program. When that happened, West Virginia should be happy to be in the Big 12 the last 10 years, because who knows what would have occurred or otherwise. And early on, there was success, not recently. But again, it has been a major conference. And while you had Oklahoma and Texas in there, you have the national power, you're going to get TV deals, etc. With them leaving, it does add a freakout session. But there's the whole debate on whether West Virginia could become a power there if the conference stays, or whether they should bolt out of there. What I do want to touch on is something that you brought up. And again, speaking with Mike Farrell here, a national recruiting analyst, as we cover it all throughout our Sports Now network, but I do want to focus on West Virginia here. You mentioned about academics, and that's a real thing out there. And we could get in a whole nother conversation. I don't even know how much you're aware of what the school does overall in terms of the Promise Scholarship and allowing people from West Virginia to get in on a very easy basis. So that certainly could affect those numbers, because they pretty much allow anybody to get in. And then obviously that's going to have a higher chance of people not having success or failing out if you have an easier bar to get in, even if, say, you're not in the journalism school. You just get in the school and then you fail out. You don't get in the J school. It makes it harder. So those things exist, and that it really might actually at some point be a conversation that West Virginia may have within themselves of, do we want to care about the football program and our athletic department, or do we want to continuously make it so easy for people that are from our state to at least get a chance at the school? If they strengthen that bar, maybe the academics actually do increase. But how much of the academic issue still exists, in your opinion? Because I get 10 years ago, we could even go into TV marketing, cable situation that maybe is not as big of a deal now with streaming and the eyeballs that are on WU. But can academics still hold WU back, that if we get into two or three superpower conferences and the ACC is able to stabilize, like you're saying, the Big 12 somehow is not where WU wants to be, that the ACC would still tell West Virginia, we love you everywhere else, but we're not going to do it academically and just screw over the Mountaineers? Is that still an issue, or less of one than where it was?
It's less. It was definitely about cable boxes.
Right.
But academics is a great excuse. They didn't want these teams that were expanding didn't want a footprint in West Virginia. It didn't mean anything to them. It doesn't mean anything to the Big Ten. It doesn't mean anything to the ACC. So geographically, they're up against it. And academics can be used as that excuse. Academics should mean nothing to the SEC. And honestly, if we're worried about student athletes, why the heck are we putting volleyball players from USC and UCLA on a flight to Piscataway, New Jersey,
right,
to play games? I mean, it none of it has to.
And look at the travel USC and UCLA players and athletes are going to undergo. You see all those former athletes. Keyshawn Johnson has been talking about it, like he wouldn't have went there if he knew that travel was going to be like that. That's insane. So
they don't care about student athletes. They don't
about
care
money.
About academics. It's about money.
Right.
And what does West Virginia bring to the table in money? And the problem is, the Big Ten landed the D.C. market with Maryland, and then they went up to New Jersey and New York. The ACC landed Boston, and part of New York was Syracuse. That's what it became about with cable boxes, and now with
and Pitt brings Pittsburgh. So West Virginia's major media market pool is Pittsburgh and D.C.,
yes,
you could argue. So if you already have D.C., even though you don't directly, but with Virginia and Virginia Tech, I've been around there a lot. That's kind of who's covered there, even if they don't directly. There's no D.C. major football program. And then obviously Pitt in West Virginia. I mean, just look at myself and who's credentialed throughout our network. Like, you're going to have the same media members covering both games.
Right.
Does that help you?
And you don't need them from that perspective. You're in the media markets you want to, Morgantown and West Virginia, there are not big media markets. So then you look at football. Okay, they've been a very good football program over the years. Recently, not so great, but
yeah,
certainly not embarrassing. I mean, this isn't Kansas, but Kansas has basketball, and there's those factors play in as well. But West Virginia basketball has been good as well. So I just think it comes down to, if they're going to shun West Virginia, they're going to use academics as an excuse.
Okay.
You know, they're, I'm looking at the stats right now, 123 in public schools. That's not bad. You know, it's not enough of an excuse to keep a team out, but that's the excuse they will use. Now, I'm not saying West Virginia is going to be left out of this, but the first go around was very scary, and this go around will be scary as well. So the powers that be at West Virginia have to really position themselves properly, and they don't have a partner. Virginia Tech had a partner. Other schools have had a partner. Now, maybe they could try to partner with Pitt.
And I was going to say, you know, because we know that Pitt has been very interested in keeping the backyard brawl going. You're going to have it now. You're going to have a dip, and then you're going to have it again. If West Virginia, like, would it be advantageous to you, talking about needing a partner, for number one, West Virginia to already, even if they maybe like the Big 12 and kind of want to see how it goes for a year or so and don't need to rush out right now and won't be welcomed out right now, really. But is it advantageous for you, for WU and Shane Lyons, to currently, even under the table, be trying to get out for the future and kind of already get that going? And then number two, should they even go to almost playing hardball with Pitt and saying, if you're going to keep publicly wanting the backyard brawl, we can't give it to you forever if you're not going to help us conference-wise?
Yeah, those you know discussions what I'm saying? All happen. They have to occur. I mean, they have to. There's no loyalty to the Big 12, because the Big 12 is not loyal to anybody, and they haven't been good. They haven't been forward-thinking. They've lost major, major universities. They continue to stay publicly. They're not looking to expand. They're far behind. They've got a new commissioner coming in. I don't know if he'll change things, but you can't be loyal to the Big 12. There's just no way. You have to find a partner. Because this is all about dance partners, and this is all about getting in, and you use whatever
you can.
There have
been some rumors of the Big 12 maybe trying to expand in terms of Pac-12 schools, but again, those rumors have been debunked as well, so it's how much do you believe?
Well, that, I don't believe those. I think there's been discussion, certainly. I mean, if you can't just sit there and not pick up the phone, but I don't believe they're in deep negotiations, as was reported, with those programs. I think the Big 12 is a bit passive, and that's why they lost, you know, Texas and Oklahoma. And you remember, they were trying with Larry Scott, they were trying to steal away USC and some others, and they failed miserably in doing that as well. So they just can't get their act together. You got to,
and the ones they added kind of needed it too. Like, you're talking about UCF and Cincinnati. I know Cincinnati just got in a playoff, and UCF has their claim of a national title years ago, but if they were more willing to get into whatever major conference would want them to step up the program. So it wasn't as hard for the Big 12 as, say, if they were trying to poach a UCF or something.
They picked USC. A group of five teams. They didn't, they didn't get a power
That's what I mean.
Team.
Yeah.
There's no lateral moves or any moves like that. So, you know, just partner with Pitt as best you can behind the scenes and try to get in the ACC. And if the ACC gets swallowed by the SEC, then try to be part of that. I mean, from a fan base perspective, from a historical perspective, from a university perspective, they are a Power Five team.
Yeah.
And they are a great fit for the SEC or the ACC from a football standpoint, and that's all that should matter.
It really is all about football, because I do want to actually ask you something that is brought up a lot by West Virginia fans, and I have touched on this in the past, that if you're talking about overall what a program means athletic program wise, obviously that would mean more than football, even though this has all been about football, and with Notre Dame and other people that are programs that are discussed constantly, it's all about football. So if they don't want to do something with football, they're not going to care about the rest. But for West Virginia, on that perspective, they are one of the weird programs in the country. And there are not many of these, Mike, as you know, that, and it hasn't been last year, you could argue, but that are consistently, for the last 20, 30 years, a contender in both football and men's basketball. And really, you could extend to women's basketball for a while with Sweet 16s. I mean, in terms of overall athletic program, West Virginia does bring a lot to the table, maybe even more than Pitt, in terms of consistent contending beyond just football. And that is an argument that some bring that, okay, if you're talking about eyeballs and interest and overall athletic program and doing it for more than just football, that West Virginia would bring a lot. I mean, you're talking about a Final Four in the last 15 years. You're talking about tons of major bowl games. Not many programs have a Final Four and major bowl wins in that 10, 15-year period. Does any of that really matter, though? Is that an argument that West Virginia can sell? That, hey, we bring it in football. We're the top 15 winningest program ever. We can rebuild this thing and get back to a little bit where we were. This would help us. We bring this media market, this interest, etc. But we also bring tons with a Hall of Fame head coach in basketball and tons otherwise in the athletic program? Or is the overall answer going to be, I hear you, none of that matters, it's just football?
They can sell it. It won't matter. Basketball only matters if you're Kansas or Duke or North Carolina or, you know, one of those programs. And even then, they make, I don't know, maybe 25% of what the football programs make. Yeah. Football and the TV rights and all that stuff just makes so much more money than basketball. So, you know, look at what happened to UConn. Now, UConn was a team that was in the Fiesta Bowl. You know, that was their basketball has won three national championships. Right. I live in Connecticut. It didn't matter. None of it mattered. Nobody wanted them. And they tried to partner with multiple different schools. And honestly, what they did is they sued the schools leaving the Big East, and that really blocked them from going to the ACC, because, you know, Boston College especially and Virginia Tech and Miami said, you're going to sue us. We're not letting you in ever.
Right.
So they got left out. So West Virginia can sell basketball and the athletics and the tradition and the history more so on a football side than UConn ever could. Sure. And UConn can sell that more on the basketball side than anybody ever could. But it comes down to, you know, UConn's located in Connecticut. We got that market. We don't need you. This is, again, it's going to come down to partnering with Pitt and really trying to bring that value. Now, they really have to hope the ACC survives, I think, because if the ACC doesn't survive, then you're going to see some teams left out. And I'm not talking about just West Virginia, you know, Wake Forest and others are in big trouble. You know, Syracuse, if they don't survive. So the ACC being aggressive here, adding teams, would help West Virginia greatly. And West Virginia would be one of those teams. If the SEC goes to, you know, 30 teams, then West Virginia is fine. But if they stop at 24 and 24, the Big Ten and the SEC, and everybody else is left out, and West Virginia is going to be a little nervous.
Yeah, and there's a thought that, are we going to have in the future of, say, 10 years from now, where we eventually get, or maybe sooner, 24, 24, and maybe a third? So maybe you're going to have three superpower conferences, or would you have two superpowers and one that's there but not necessarily a superpower, and see what viability that means for extended playoff, etc., where West Virginia would fall? Mike Farrell here, national recruiting analyst, joining me as we are talking the current state and future of the West Virginia athletic program with conference realignment and all that talk. I do want to also touch on what you've been bringing up, and it's always been about the ACC, of where it seems like most West Virginia fans want to be. And honestly, to be fair to this, it seems like most Pitt fans and most fans of those schools want West Virginia to be there. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it seems like that's kind of the consensus. That's where they want them to be. But there also is a contingent that kind of wants West Virginia to instead be in the SEC. And you mentioned the SEC and the advantage there, I guess, now, because we're talking about, will the ACC survive? And if they do expand, maybe West Virginia and Notre Dame is what they try, but does Notre Dame even want to be in a conference at all? So that might make them attractive, but do they just survive at all? In terms of the SEC, there's a guarantee of stability, basically. That, I mean, obviously, that conference is not going to be dissolving. It would just be, are they cool or do they want to expand? My question to you, though, is that really better for the program if you could just have your pick? I even know you can't control what happens in the world. And what would that mean for the West Virginia athletic program? Because even though it's obviously not been Alabama, there is a level of what fans want the program to be, to the point of what Neil Brown's been doing right now isn't enough for some fans. There's pressure on him, and that's at least bowl appearances. Certainly that's not been near what it was a decade earlier, even though think the landscape's different. Would that not be harder for West Virginia? My counter argument has been to fans that be careful what you wish for, because that could put you guaranteeably forever in the middle of the pack and could make it a gauntlet schedule. That if you tried to schedule Pitt out of conference, you're already dealing with six ranked teams in conference on the in-conference schedule. How are you winning more than six games a year, even if you beat Pitt occasionally? So is that maybe a harder path for West Virginia forward than maybe if you're a fan that you would be scared of?
Yeah, it really depends on the outside the mega conference path to the playoff. I mean, Cincinnati made it as a group of five team. If West Virginia gets left out, how is the play-in going to work? Will it be a 16 team, you know, field eventually with four play-ins? Will it be 12? Will it be eight? Right. You know, it is be careful what you wish for, because, you know, again, being in the Northeast here and following the Big East when I started my career, you know, fans up here wanted BC to be in the ACC so badly. They were so afraid of being left out. And, you know, but since they've been there, they started off okay. You know, they went to a couple championship games. Since then, they've been very mediocre in football. Basketball is a disaster because they're in a much, much harder, you know, you know, conference, and travel is difficult. And they started off really well. You know, Matt Ryan takes them to two ACC championship games, and that's the last of it. It's like 2007 is the last time that they were sort of relevant.
And you have a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback to do that.
Right.
MVP. That's not going to come around once.
Well, and the ACC sucked back then. I mean, they played Virginia Tech and Wake Forest in the championship game. So, and Wake Forest won, you know, they won, I think they were won or competed with Jim Grobe to win the ACC. It sucked. It, you know, Florida State was up and down. You know, Miami did not transition well whatsoever. Virginia Tech fell off, and the ACC stunk. The ACC stinks now, but it's going to get better. But the SEC never stinks. So no. If West Virginia goes into the SEC, you're not only talking about a gauntlet. Now, it can be done. I mean, Arkansas won nine games last year, and they're in the SEC West.
That's true.
They're not going to win the division, but they won games. But it's a danger. It's a real danger going in there, because to go in there and play that gauntlet of a schedule year in, year out, you could very well fall not to the middle, but even to the end with the Vanderbilts of the world. You just don't know.
Yeah. And I know people have brought up Kentucky had the Benny Snell year and Missouri had the Michael Sam year, but you're talking about 1 or 2 years in 15 or 20. Is that what you want in terms of the hope? And maybe Arkansas, we don't know what they're going to do in the future. They could do more than the 1 year, but you're looking at one really in a 10-year period. So there is a fear factor there for me. And bringing up basketball again, I do think, and this isn't why teams would move conferences, basketball-wise, obviously the ACC would be much harder for West Virginia. That would then be a gauntlet. That would be the old Big East. And yes, they won it before, but who knows about doing that all the time. In the SEC, the advantage for WU would be you're probably already up into the top tier because of what you can do. You know, it's similar to what the Big 12 has been in terms of a basketball conference. It would not be a hard thing, actually. It would hurt the other schools basketball-wise to have WU there. But football-wise, really, do you have a guarantee six wins every year if all you want is a bowl game, which I'm not saying that's all they want? No. I don't know. And it might, WU's been a school that kind of has wanted to have at least one relatively tough out-of-conference opponent, even if they have other fillers. If I'm making the schedule in the SEC, it's almost the SEC schedule in Cupcake City, because I don't know how you can guarantee enough wins in conference.
If you have Pat White, yes. You know, but how often does he come along? You know, I mean, Virginia Tech's still waiting for the next Michael Vick.
Yeah.
So it really has to be, you know, a consistent, scary football team that can recruit to a level in the Southeast to, you know, put a fear of loss into the Georgias in the world. You know, like Kentucky has done well under
that. That's the argument against what I'm saying that I've heard from.
But they're
fans.
Not scary. Kentucky's not scary.
Do you think, though, West Virginia with a stronger pedigree, I guess to get that counter argument in, a stronger pedigree than the other teams that we mentioned football wise that have struggled, except for Arkansas, but it's been a long, long time. With a stronger football pedigree, what would be the path, and is there a reasonable success path that's not 30 years from now, that if West Virginia is in the SEC, they could do what you're saying? That could strengthen and increase the footprint recruiting wise to compete and say, Kentucky, you're out. Now we're the school that you got to come to if you're not going to be viable for Alabama or Georgia. Is that likely for West Virginia? Can they do that? Because if they do that, they're at least top five, maybe then.
It can happen. Yes, absolutely can happen. What's not going to happen is what happened at Clemson. You know, they're not the next Clemson. If they go to the SEC, they're not. You know, Clemson's closer to that footprint. Clemson, you know, Clemson, South Carolina isn't a great place to try to recruit kids to, but if you start winning and having success, you could start winning those battles in the Southeast. And North Carolina has a lot of talent, and, you know, Georgia has a ton of talent, and into Florida. West Virginia doesn't have that recruiting territory. So they can be Kentucky, yes. Now, Kentucky borders Ohio, and they've done a lot of really good work there. And West Virginia, for some unforsaken reason, got away from Ohio recruiting for a couple of years, and they're trying to get back in there. But once you get away from it, so where
they did
do
well
they go?
In Florida for a while. Noah Devine, those players, could they dip back into Florida, or does that hurt them actually being now in the conference where Florida's going to say, don't deal touch with them because they're in our conference now?
They could try. I mean, Florida's all about, you know, spot recruiting and getting kids that the rest of the Southeast doesn't want. I mean, that's what Iowa does. It's what Minnesota does. It's what, you know, a lot of programs in the Big Ten have been successful doing that. And everybody's had some level of success. You know, the Geno Smiths of the world and Noel Devines of the world, you're not going to get those guys now. But you can recruit Florida. You can recruit South Carolina, Georgia, obviously into Virginia and Pennsylvania and up to Ohio. But it's tough. You know, you've got so many disadvantages. There's no in-state talent, right? You get maybe four kids that are FBS Power Five level prospects. You better keep all four of them.
Yeah.
And then you better win road recruiting battles against crazy teams. I mean,
that's what I mean. It's one thing to compete against Pitt for the WPIL kids because you're only an hour south and you have a lot of WVU fans. I live in Pittsburgh, actually. Yeah, there's a bars here that are WVU bars. You're not going to have a WVU bar in Georgia or a WVU bar, you know what I mean, in the middle of Alabama. So you better hit on every walking around, seeing a flag. Right.
You better hit on every recruit. Your talent evaluation better be off the hook, and you better develop three stars into five stars. And that's the key.
So that's long path then. Is that a 10-year journey for Neil Brown?
Very hard.
To keep him around? That's the scary thing about the SEC.
I mean, let's be honest. By the time all this is done, Neil Brown's not going to be there.
Probably not, unless things quickly change, right?
I mean, come on. No offense to Neil Brown. Listen, you know. I mean, how long do you have 10 to 15 year head coaches in college football?
No, that's true. I mean, he's even on the hot seat now by some people if things don't quickly turn around the next year or two, even though there's love between him and Shane Lyons. And I did want to ask you that here as I'm talking with Mike Farrell here, national recruiting analyst. In terms of the work that Neil Brown has done this offseason, and it does include bringing in JT Daniels to kind of give him a chance now, certainly add excitement to the backyard brawl. Without that, I don't know what the record would be for this team now, but even with him, you're seeing predictions of 4 or 5 wins from national publications, 6 maybe at the most, maybe 7 if you really want to get wild. And certainly you've lost a lot of other – Messidor leaving, you lost a lot of other pieces, and you're seeing a mass exodus despite bringing in JT Daniels. You have a 2023 class, though, that is one of the better ones in a while, and it's kind of surprising for a program that is having their worst years in 20 years. So he has his worst season in a long time for the program, and then does really well for next year. Remains to be seen if he'll be there or not, but he could certainly sell himself in that recruiting class. We talked about how this could affect and what West Virginia's path is for the future, depending on the conference, but they can't fix that for this year or next year. So the state of the program now for you under Neil Brown, with this group that has JT Daniels and then next year's recruiting class, how surprised were you that he was able to put this together for next year? How much have the exodus really hurt the program? How much is that maybe overblown? And what's the current state of this program as they try to sell themselves to these other conferences if they do need to get out potentially and the Big 12 doesn't make it happen? Because there's also been reports in terms of predictions and what people think that West Virginia overall value as an overall athletic program, which certainly hinges on football mostly, has been valued by national reporters at 29th out of 30. Mike, I actually think that's pretty favorable to the Mountaineers, quite frankly, right now. And that includes actually having Pitt, for example, put there, I think, in the mid-40s. And that's just one guy's opinion. But what are your thoughts in terms of the viability of WVU as we stand?
Well, I mean, the recruiting class is off to a good start, but it's numbers. So, you know, you really have to look at the quality of the class. It's 18 commitments is a big number. And you see other classes like Northwestern and Cincinnati and Texas Tech and Baylor and Arkansas that are way up there with high numbers. And they will fall as the bigger programs, you know, start to add recruits. USC has 11. Georgia has 12. Alabama's got 11. I mean,
It's not going to stay, right?
No, it's absolutely not going to stay. LSU has 11. So they're probably going to finish in the 25 to 35 range, which is good for them. And that's, you know, a good recruiting year for them because they don't have a home recruiting base. So recruiting isn't something you could sell it now, but, you know, you better get off to a good start during the season because you're not going to be able to sell a top 15 recruiting class. By then it'll be 25 or so. And I think they need to have success this year. And I think if they don't, he could be gone. And the reason I say that is because they have to sell themselves again. They have to sell themselves as a up and coming viable program. And what's the way to do that if you're not winning? To start with a new coach. New coach is 0-0. He's undefeated in his conference. There's excitement. There's new recruits.
Right.
So I think that's where Neil Brown is like, he's got to win now. And the portal wasn't helpful. They lost a lot of talent. There's talent on this roster, but they have to win. And that's the bottom line. Because if they don't, he might be served up as a sacrificial lamb to make this program a little bit more exciting and viable for potential expansion. This news of conference realignment is not good for Neil Brown at all, unless he wins. If he wins, let's say they surprise everybody this season and go 9-3, then he's in a great position. Well, I mean, that would be a big surprise, right?
Right.
Arkansas was 3-7 in COVID year. They went 9-3, and that's a harder division. The Big 12 is not loaded. In any way, shape, or form.
Hey, as much as you and I and other people in media are saying 4 or 5 wins, the fans are saying 8+. So
could happen. You just don't know. I mean, last year, did we expect Baylor to do what they did? Did we expect, you know, Oklahoma State to do what they did? They're consistent programs. I mean, Dave Aranda inherited a good program from Matt Rhule, but I expected that thing to fall apart, and it didn't. You know, did and remember, Iowa State was a preseason top 5 team. And they won 8-4. They went 8-4. So the opposite can happen. So you just don't know in the Big 12. But this is a really important year for him because it's going to affect that recruiting class, and it's also going to affect the perception of West Virginia as a football team.
Yeah, and you're selling trust the climb. You got to climb then. Climb means going up, means improving. You do go from a pretty solid bowl win over Army after they won a lot of games, which regrouped yourself from the year before that was just so bad after you took over for Dana Holgorsen, even media calling it year zero before that, giving Neil Brown kind of that mulligan. And then this past year just was so bad. I mean, even 6-7, it felt like they won 3 games on the vibe. It was just so negative. And talking about the perception, I'm not going to say who, but former players were sliding in my DMs saying, God, why is it so bad right now? So it was kind of surprisingly bad, and the fanfare of everyone saying we're excited about Neil Brown, that kind of wore off, I feel like, last year a little bit. The recruiting class of 2023 maybe could bring it back. And JT Daniels, I will tell you, did ignite some excitement that was not prior there. If it's Jared Deggie going in this brawl, I don't think the excitement's there to what JT Daniels possibly brings. That's why I think you see some people saying 8 wins, because you have a former top recruit who's been at major programs as your QB, but he hasn't been healthy. So that's a coup for Neil Brown in a way. But yeah, there's tons of pressure. If this is not at least 6 wins, if not 7 for Neil Brown, you probably are making a change. Shane Lyons might keep him for the recruiting class of next year. But Mike, off of what you're saying too about needing to win, West Virginia was at its apex after Pat White And that period with Rich Rodriguez and all those BCS wins, et cetera, and being a true national contender, and then the situation over Clemson was 70 points, and they weren't attractive enough at that point. Now, granted, right. things are different now, but imagine a down WVU program. That's the scare.
It's a hard sell. And, you know, again, you don't want to, you know, put somebody's job on the line because of, you know, losing some kids to the portal. It's all going to come down to wins or losses. Nobody will care that anybody left in the portal, because that's a big talk in the offseason is how do you do in the portal?
Messidor dragged the program through the mud. He literally said he didn't like Morgantown as a people.
Right. And you know, that prior to that, the year before, they lost a couple of very, very talented players in the portal too. But recruiting and the portal are all the talk of the offseason. It comes down to wins and losses. It comes down to the schedule. It comes down to their ability to, you know, make a difference in the Big 12. And the problem they've got here is, you know, Oklahoma State and Baylor did it last year, both won 12 games total. Iowa State has done it over the last few years. Kansas State is expected to do it this year because they got a really talented roster. But where is West Virginia? When have they done it last? And they just have to be the talk of the Big 12 for at least a few weeks and get some excitement going. Because if they do, I mean, you look at the schedule.
At least win those swing games. Because they've been getting beat up on by Kansas State, by Texas Tech. You got to figure you're a similar program. You're a better historic program than those programs. You should at least win one out of every two or three. I think that Neil Brown hasn't really had a big win besides Vautech, and they haven't been that good, really. They got exposed. You're beating up on lower programs like LIU, you struggle with teams that are average to you, and you get beat down by Oklahoma and company. Yeah, you beat Texas every now and then, but who knows if they're really bad.
Everybody is.
Everyone is, right. So, like, that's, I think, the issue. I do want to kind of ask you before we let you go here. Off of your analysis here, and just if you can get your prediction hat on, knowing what JT Daniels has been, knowing this WVU program, knowing the schedule, can it happen, and do you think it's going to happen in terms of JT Daniels and WVU and Neil Brown doing enough this year, wins and loss wise, to make this program attractive on the field, to keep Neil Brown's job, to make JT Daniels more attractive to the NFL or stay another year in college football? Can all of this pie in the sky that is possible by bringing him in, and that is the only way they have a chance of doing it, can it happen this year and win seven games at least and have JT Daniels put up numbers?
No, it can't. I'm sorry. You know, that's just my opinion. JT Daniels, I believed in out of high school. He accelerated a year of high school. I don't think that was a good call. You know, but he wanted to be with, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, his teammate, and he wanted to get a head start on his college career. And he was in that class with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. He reclassified into that class, and he was the number three quarterback. He's a top 10 player. USC got injured. And then he lost his job. Goes off to Georgia. Things are going to be different. He's going to be that five-star again. He's injured. He loses his job to a walk-on who ends up winning a national championship. This is his third chance. Yeah. Third chances often don't go well. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, unsuccessful. I think he made the right choice as to where he should go. But they weren't beating out Alabama and Ohio State.
And there's a reason why he was viable for them. Right.
Right. And so you look at the schedule. At Pitt is tough. You know, you should beat Kansas, Towson. At Virginia Tech's tough. At Texas, you know, and then you finish the schedule with Oklahoma, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. And not to mention at Iowa State. I mean, it's a tough road. I mean, I've got them just looking at the schedule off the top of my head, winning five max.
And so then that's worse than last year with a better quarterback. That's what I think feels bad for fans. You improve QB and you have a worse year. Schedule's hard. It's a harder schedule.
You have an improved conference too. I mean, Texas is going to be better. They added a ton of talent. Baylor is good. I mean, geez, Jerry Bohannon couldn't even win the starting job there. They're good. And then you've got Oklahoma with a new coaching staff, but they're Oklahoma. Kansas State is loaded, I believe. Oklahoma State, very good. You're not seeing a lot of drop off from teams from last year, and that's what you need. You need drop off to rise. And so who's going to drop? I mean, Texas is going to rise. Baylor's not going to drop. Oklahoma's not going to drop. Kansas State's not going to drop, and Oklahoma State's not going to drop. So you have to go TCU, Texas Tech, Iowa
State. I was going to say Texas Tech is the team because they've been beating you. Can you get above them? You have a better QB, you would figure.
You would figure. And you know, but that's still middle range Big 12. And middle range Big 12 to me is a 6-6, 5-7 season. Six and six, you go to a bowl game against nobody that nobody cares about. And
which just happened. Literally the year.
Which just happened. So I don't see 8. I don't see 7. I see 6 at best and 5-7. And I believe if it's 5-7, then there will be a change made.
And then that's obviously, it might force a change because at that point you're going into year 5 and all you've been doing is getting 6-7 wins at best, even with a COVID year and it's mediocre games. I mean, Dana Holgorsen was doing that and people were upset at the time after he had a big bowl win prior. So that probably would have to happen. Otherwise, you're not respecting yourself. If you want to send a message that this isn't acceptable, you can't accept it. If you keep him forever at 5 wins, that's going to look bad too. But then you have instability. Who are you really going to bring in as a coach? And then JT Daniels may say, I don't even want to do another 5. You know, he might be upset about that. Obviously, his future wouldn't be there. But that could potentially risk it being worse. You don't know, even though the recruiting class is coming in, and Nico is obviously who a lot of fans have a lot of hope in for the future. There were even some that wanted him right away and didn't want JT Daniels, so maybe you'd get that then. But it's just interesting. It's really interesting how a lot of this focuses on West Virginia outside of, say, Notre Dame, who everybody wants. It almost is like outside of Notre Dame, who everybody wants, and they maybe don't want to go anywhere because they don't need it. If the CFP expands and will take a non-conference winner, they can get their own TV deal. Maybe they don't do anything. Then you're really looking at the next viable historic program that can win and can bring eyeballs and interests around the country. It actually is WVU that doesn't have like a home anywhere that loves them. But you just don't know. So I'd imagine some phone calls are being made and some things are happening.
It's gonna be difficult for West Virginia fans, like the first go round was. It's gonna be stressful. I don't like it. You know, I remember legitimately Virginia Tech was out. They were not going to be in, and West Virginia was going to be the team in the ACC. This was done. And then UVA went to bat for Virginia Tech, and West Virginia didn't have a partner, and everything fell apart. And here we are, they're the Big 12.
The Pittsburgh media market thing, like Pitt isn't going to help you enough, and then you bring the same market as them. And
the highs and lows are going to be really difficult. You know, so if I'm a West Virginia fan, I focus on the season. You know, hope you get off to a good start. You know, backyard brawl, victory over Pitt, Kansas. And go 3-0.
Gotta be at least 2-1. Could be 3-1. You just beat Tech.
Virginia Tech's not that great.
West Virginia just beat Virginia Tech, and WVU's not been that good. So
So maybe you're 4-0 going to Texas. Who knows? Focus on that. Try to focus on the positive. But if I'm being asked as an analyst, you know, and a college football expert, I don't see.
I'll give you that. Yeah,
8 or 7 wins here. I just don't see them. But anything can happen. And you know, I think Arkansas is a really good team to look at a team that, you know, got screwed in their schedule in COVID. Screwed. I mean, they had Georgia and Florida out of conference and the West, and it was an all SEC conference from 3-7 to 9-3. That can happen, but you have to have the right coach and the right players, and anything can happen. Nobody saw KJ Jefferson coming.
Yeah,
maybe JT Daniels will be that guy we saw out in California throwing bombs to Amon-Ra and being that 5-star guy. You don't know. And that's why we play the games and you have hope. So there's 0-0.
And you do have Graham Harrell. So you do have Graham Harrell. So that's nice. You have that connection with JT Daniels that wasn't there. You have Graham Harrell as O coordinator. So it takes it away from Neil Brown a little bit. They have the USC connection. That's an underrated part of this. That if JT Daniels' savior career is almost maybe Graham Harrell, this might be the Graham Harrell show more than Neil Brown, because some fans have said Neil Brown's called an offensive guru but can't put up points against anybody but LIU. Well, maybe he's given the keys away to Graham Harrell, so we'll see what somebody else can do. The defense at WVU has actually been very underrated. If they can get enough offensively, the O-line's better. You get some running back. That hasn't been good. There's not much hope there. A lot of pressure on JT Daniels, too, right now. And a lot could, you know, be around him, and a lot of pressure on him. Not many weapons there. We will just completely see. Mike, I just want to ask you this as your, you know, and I'm not going to hold you to this, but just as your prediction here for 5, 10, years from now, which conference is West Virginia in and what exists? It could be a new Big 12 that gets saved and somehow is a superpower Big 12 or called something else. It could be the ACC and somehow they're a superpower. It could be the SEC is a superpower. You could think there's two, three conferences overall, or West Virginia somehow is independent that it's floundering because they can't get a TV deal like Notre Dame could by themselves. Where do you think the West Virginia program is 10 years from now? I won't hold you to this, but just out of curiosity from everything we're
ACC.
Talking about.
I think the ACC. I think eventually when Notre Dame has to choose.
And it becomes enough of a super? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Notre Dame has to choose a conference anytime soon. And I don't think they'll really be into that maybe 10 years from now, maybe 5 years from now, maybe 7 years from now. And when they do settle on a conference, I believe it'll be the ACC. And that they might even get everything thrown at them now to save the ACC. But I think the ACC stays alive, and I think that's where West Virginia lands.
Yeah. And again, I do think it needs to maybe be some hardball that you're playing. I know there's been a lot of very nice relationship with Pitt and those schools because they want out-of-conference games. Maybe you got to get, you know, turn up the heat a little bit and say, hey, you want this. I can't just be the stepchild any further. You got to help me out and got to, you know, speak up for me a little bit here because I can bring this, this, and this. At least media market's not as big of a deal. Maybe academics will be adjusted a little bit. And we'll see. I mean, if Clemson ever leaves, that could kill things. But, yeah, Notre Dame, I don't think they need to do this as soon as people are saying they do. You see all these articles and all these comments on Twitter of, well, Notre Dame will go here, Notre Dame will do this. Why? Even if the college football playoff expands, they're going to take non-conference champs. They don't want a situation where Alabama runs the table, loses to number one Georgia, and then they don't get in. No, they want them in. They've been putting them in those scenarios. And if you do that, you can take Notre Dame, and then obviously they can get TV money on their own. So, only way to sweeten the pot is if ACC puts up some deal to save themselves and they really freak out and say, Notre Dame, we'll give you like an 80% cut and every other school gets 20 or something crazy, which then every other school would obviously hate Notre Dame, but that might be the only way you push it. So, Mike, I definitely appreciate the time. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again about this, and you'll be touching on this and other outlets amongst us and elsewhere. So I definitely appreciate it, man. This is an ever-changing wheel. So who knows?
Yes. Yeah. Anytime. Let me know.
Absolutely. So Mike Farrell, national recruiting analyst, great to be able to finally speak to him. We have this connection a little bit here that I won't divulge on more, but finally able to get to a show with him. I know, George, that he beat me to it. So, yeah, there you get it from the horse's mouth. If you didn't believe me, I think you're going to believe Mike. And, yeah, I think the SEC, be careful what you wish for. It's very, very scary, even though there is positive. Maybe he was more optimistic than I was in terms of the future viability of what you can do. Maybe you can do what Arkansas has been doing, Kentucky. Hopefully you're more than Kentucky. But maybe there's a path. Certainly could help recruiting, could dip into other things. I think it'd be very hard for West Virginia to compete football-wise on a regular basis in the SEC, either now or as more of a superpower. Yeah, you will basketball-wise. You definitely will. It doesn't really matter. It's about football. So that would be my worry. I'd rather do an ACC thing. I think they can save themselves and be a superpower. I don't think Notre Dame's coming. But if they keep Clemson, that's really the thing. You keep Clemson, you keep Miami, you keep Florida State. I don't care how good or bad they are. Obviously, those are the brands. You got to keep them. Certainly Miami and Clemson. Okay, maybe then you're a superpower. Maybe there's three superpowers. And it's the Big Ten, the SEC, and the ACC somehow. Or even if the ACC is clearly the third best but stays around enough, and the Big 12, I don't have much hope in them trying to add these teams and do all this and whatever. So I have more hope in the ACC. If that happens and that's where you should be, you should tell those teams, hey, I'll do these out-of-conference games. I'll do the brawl. I love the relationship. But if you're not going to go to bat for me, how much more are we doing this? Because I don't want to be an independent. No, you can't stabilize like that, like Notre Dame could. You can't get your own TV money. So there's a reason to be worried. But right now, in the immediate future, it is about Neil Brown and this team doing better this year and actually climbing. It's about MB. It's about JT Daniels doing it on the field. You will have an early season schedule that's favorable for you. Worst case, losing to Pitt. You should at least have two wins. Kansas and Towson, obviously. You probably should beat Virginia Tech and might even be favored. You could easily be 3-1 or an upset over Pitt. You're 4-0 or who knows, you upset Pitt and lose to Vaught Tech, you're still 3-1. Granted, that would look bad in a way, since Pitt's better than Virginia Tech. But the end of the year, the schedule gets really brutal. And some of those swing games against team programs that are average and equal to you, they've been beating you, and they're only going to get better, and it's only going to get harder. And those games are on the road. So what do you think? In a 5-win or less season, I would as I said before, I love the guy. I'm covering the guy. I've been around him. Really, really great guy. Done a lot of great things for the program in terms of bringing back the old timers and welcoming Pat McAfee and company back and fixing some of the angst that was there around Dana Holgorsen's era. But it's about wins and losses. It's about results. And if you don't do enough, then you eventually got to go. I don't care how much you're friends with Shane Lyons. So five or less wins, I'd pull the trigger. Maybe you can sell the next year recruiting class, though, and stay one more year. But then you really got to win at least six plus, if not seven plus. It just hasn't been enough. Who do they get head coaching-wise, though? Do they get a better situation than a young up-and-coming Neil Brown, who was kind of a big coup at the time over Troy with an unknown about major conference ball? We will see. There's no guarantee they get somebody better. The guys always in rumors don't seem like they bring more cachet than Neil Brown. And if you're concerned about where West Virginia will be conference-wise, since they'll need one probably, how attractive is it a job to you as an up-and-coming head coach as well, even though there's history and it is a major conference program and a major program right now? Again, thanks to Mike Farrell here, national recruiting analyst Mike Farrell, joining me. Find him there at Mike Farrell Reports, as well as our transfer portal website and all throughout our network when needed, because he certainly has worked with us very well in recent months, and we're going to keep on needing them because, boy, this is ever-changing, to say the very least. I'm Mike Oste. Follow us throughout our network here at WV Sports Now on social. Of course, West Virginia Sports Now as our site, and we will have more coverage and more conversation on this ongoing news cycle that just will never die as all that keeps unraveling.